The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The internet continues to shape how we do business. It's where prospects decide who to buy from, you or your competitor. Welcome to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby, the live radio program that gives you strategies for smarter web marketing.
Welcome back to another episode of Generation Web. We are here with Boris Grinko, who was on the show 2 weeks ago. Boris from he's from Marketing Sherpa, and he wrote this year's 2011 landing page optimization report. Boris, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Matt.
And we're going to shift our focus today for our listeners a little bit away from strategy for LPO around LPO, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, to the more of the tactical side of LPO or landing page optimization. And it will pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago in a sense. And we're pleased to have Boris back on the show to share exclusive insights as well from their first ever landing page optimization benchmark report. This report, the Marketing Sherpa's report, comes with 173 charts and analytical commentary. The report also includes research from over 2,600 business-to-business and business-to-consumer marketers, as well as including special sections on LPO tactics, testing, as well as actionable metrics, budgeting, and ROI. And of course, marketers know that one of the fastest ways to increase sales is to optimize landing pages. And landing page optimization has gained momentum as of late because it provides opportunities for marketers to improve performance. And marketers are now more than ever able to justify increasing their investment into LPO. It's growing very quickly. And after a decade of optimization practices systematically applied by marketers, it's now not uncommon for LPO-savvy marketers to get triple-digit conversion rates. Very exciting topic we're talking about today. And for those of you who may have not listened to the episode from 2 weeks ago on May 26th, Boris Grinko is the Associate Director of Product Development at Marketing Sherpa. And that's spelled M-A-R-K-E-T-I-N-G-S-H-E-R-P-A. S-H-E-R-P-A, excuse me. And, of course, you can learn more about Marketing Sherpa at MarketingSherpa.com. Boris's work with Fortune 500 and international research partners included experimental design, business intelligence, competitive strategy, and lead generation. He has led optimization projects, each generating tens of millions of dollars. So the proof's in the pudding. Boris is our expert on the call today on the radio show. Very glad to have him here. Since the 2011 LPO benchmark report, he continues to speak and write about LPO as well as to teach LPO workshops across the entire country. Boris, again, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back. When you were on the show 2 weeks ago, like I mentioned a minute ago, we talked about, like I said, the strategic side of LPO. Very enlightening and helpful for organizations who might need some help getting up and running with regard to a formal program related to LPO, or maybe those veterans out there that are listening today, you've been doing LPO for a while, but you're just still trying to convince your organization to get more organized, if you will. But today we're going to be going to talk about more of the technical aspects of this practice and dive more into some of the results from Marketing Sherpa's 2011 LPO benchmark report. So, Boris, as we're going to be digging more into the report today than we were 2 weeks ago, as far as some of the detailed research findings, and I was bummed, for lack of a better word, that we did run out of time to really dive into that. So again, I'm glad to have you back. First, talk to us about the methodology and who was surveyed with this report.
Sure. First of all, Matt, thank you. I really appreciate you having me back on the show, and As you know, I love to talk about this topic, so I'm glad to dig in more into a little bit more of a tactical side, like you were saying, of LPO and looking at specific findings. On the methodology side, I can, I guess, throw a couple of numbers at you just to give you an idea of who the respondents were. You know, about half of them, actually almost exactly half, were marketing managers or marketers in a supervisory role with some degree of decision-making authority in the organization. About a third were in a CMO or similar executive role, and the rest, about 15%, were in non-management roles. Now, this, on the one hand, it shows that people who respond to this survey typically have high degree of responsibility. But also you have to keep in mind that even though the roles sound relatively high, if you look at the size of the organizations, actually about 41% are from small organizations, you know, fewer than 25 employees, and about 21% are 500 or more, and the rest are in between. So it's a good, and it's hard to judge, you know, a marketer's ability to do stuff by the size of the organization or even by the title, because as you know, you can have small shops, where, they're highly focused and highly profitable, and then you have large organizations like, let's say, a construction company, you know, in terms of number of employees or even volume, it's very large, but the marketing department can be actually relatively small. What's interesting about overall, and this is from just talking to marketers and looking at the responses, is that, and also understanding how we fielded this survey, it sets a relatively high standard, because if a marketer replied to the survey, they're at least aware of LPO as a category. They're not necessarily an experienced LPO marketer, but they know what it is. They understand it, which is why they responded to our request in the first place. Marketers that are not involved in LPO are not represented. So this is a good thing in the sense that the practices we're looking at in this survey are set a relatively high bar. At the same time, it's a little bit conservative in the sense that if it were to, it's not representative, if you will, of the average marketer, because the average marketer actually would be less LPO savvy, if that makes sense.
Okay. Appreciate that additional background. It's always helpful to know, you know, where the data came from. And in this case, I think it's very, very, very telling and good to hear that it's pretty representative. One of the questions that I had for you that I'd like you to talk about from the report is, you know, the LPO report talks about landing pages and, you know, what they're used for typically. As pretty much every marketer, online marketer knows, dedicated landing pages pretty much are a necessity when it comes to LPO. You know, being able to target your message to in a relevant way to incoming traffic or incoming visitors is just a necessity. So according to the report, for which traffic sources or channels, I guess they could be called, are dedicated landing pages or DLPs, as you call them, is LPO most commonly used?
Sure. What we see in the data is that marketers tend to use dedicated landing pages, especially for paid sources of traffic. And this makes sense because the greatest opportunity in creating dedicated landing pages, or these terms, we use them, of course, kind of broadly. It's not necessarily a single page. A lot of the time it's a microsite, or it's a page within your existing site. The key term here is really dedicated, more so than landing page. The idea is that you create a unique experience that's unique to the particular source of traffic, to particular messaging that the visitor arrived through, or the ad they clicked on, or the referring link they clicked on, the tweet they clicked on, and so on. So whenever the marketer has paid for that ad, or whether it's display or paid search and so on, that also suggests higher likelihood that they have control over that message. Right? We have a little bit less control over organic search results. We have a little bit less of a control when social media customers might refer to a website, but you don't have control of the exact message. You get the traffic, but you don't have control. When you do have control over the message, that's when you get the most value out of dedicated landing pages, because you know a tremendous amount about your customer or about that visitor, because you know they clicked on the message that said, we sell $500 blue widgets. And you can create a page just exclusively dedicated to $500 blue widgets, because you know that's exactly what the customer wanted. So the opportunity created by paid, whether display or search or other types of advertising where the marketer controls the message, this is where marketers tend to use dedicated pages the most.
Okay. So, for example, like paid search or contextual ads through Google AdWords, for example, would be an example of that.
Correct. So whenever the marketer actually had control of the ad, so it could be contextual search, it could be paid search in the search engine, it could be a display ad as well. It's whenever the marketer has direct control over the message that drove the visitor to the page.
Okay. Makes sense. We're coming up on our first break here, and let's dive a little bit more into that when we get back from the break and talk a little bit about the differences that you found, if any, between business-to-business and business-to-consumer respondents, because often there is a difference, and sometimes there's not, depending on the study. So we'll talk about that and some other detailed statistics from the report when we come back.
Sounds good.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. The modern world has experienced fundamental era changes from the industrial age to the information age to the age of complexity. Technology and globalization are rapidly changing the world we live in. Yet our way of thinking and the conversations that drive our decisions are stuck in the past. To find prosperity, business and communities need the skills to learn new ways of thinking and find the right conversations to move comfortably into the future. How can you sort it all out? Tune in to The Science of Change with Dr. Barbara Berry and Lise Inman, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
You want to know the inside scoop on how today's leaders do business? How they hire and develop top talent? How do they retain top employees and customers? Tune in to Leadership Leverage on the Voice America Business Channel. Every week, Dr. Robert Denker will offer ideas and facilitate discussion with guests that will help shape today's up-and-coming leaders, as well as established leaders in their fields. Listen for Leadership Leverage every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
And we're speaking today with Boris Grinko, the author of the first ever landing page optimization report, or LPO report, by Marketing Sherpa. And Boris has been speaking to us about some of the results from this study, and we're going to be getting into some of the tactical aspects even in more depth as it relates to the study. And Boris, talk to us about some of the findings in terms of the types of traffic sources people are using, and if there is any difference at all between B2C and B2B. I know I get that question from clients of mine sometimes. They always ask the question, is this, you know, the study relevant to me if I'm B2C versus B2B? And so I bring that question up for that reason. I get that question a lot from people.
Sure. And that makes sense. And actually, one caveat I want to make, and it's a good distinction to make between B2B and B2C. It's also important to understand that B2B versus B2C is only one way you want to slice the data. Actually, last time we talked a little bit more about this idea of a website objective. And what we found, actually, is that B2B versus B2C and objectives, which we broadly define, you know, we picked three for the report as good kind of buckets to put website objectives into, although each individual website will have a different mix. You know, we talk, let's say, about e-commerce is a key, one of the key objectives. Well, at first you might think that e-commerce equals B2C, but of course we know that that's not the case at all. You can have a B2C website that's strictly focused on lead generation that has no e-commerce component. You can have B2B websites that are e-commerce or that are focused on lead generation. So both of those things need to be considered. So when marketers ask, hey, is this applicable for B2B? It may be applicable for B2B, but also you have to think in terms of, well, is it applicable for the specific objective of your website? But that's a, kind of a little aside. In terms of differences, there's definitely differences in B2B versus B2C because we're talking about different kind of customer, different kind of decision-making that goes in there. So let's say we just talked about dedicated landing pages. We see that B2C marketers find, in 67% of B2C marketers use dedicated landing pages for social media website ads. This is paid ads versus, you know, just conversation. As opposed to B2B marketers, that only 38% of them are using dedicated landing pages for social media website ads, so about half. We see that difference, and of course, to some degree, it's understandable. B2B marketers are a little bit more skeptical of social media and especially paying for display ads in social media, so it explains that difference in usage of dedicated landing pages. But in other cases, for example, if you look at paid search or context ad like Google AdSense, they're very close. It's, you know, 65 to 62% for B2C and B2B respectively. So it's almost the same. Because it's such a mature category of advertising that there's no real difference in how likely marketers are to go to dedicated landing pages for that type of traffic.
Okay. And your report, it does a great job of cutting the data several different ways. And one, you know, I see on page 133, I'm just looking at the report here, talks about different industries, right? And how different industries sometimes use these different mediums differently when it comes to LPO. Were there any significant findings there? And if so, what implications can be drawn from those findings?
Sure. So it's interesting. We picked, you know, top five industries, more representative industries, and in some categories, again, it's about the same. We don't see any difference between marketers and using certain things. But for example, we see that businesses that are in online retail are very highly much more likely than anyone else to use social media to drive traffic to their websites. And again, it's kind of, to some degree, that's intuitive. So finding like that, it's more something you would confirm kind of your thinking. More interesting, you'll find that, for example, education, healthcare industries are much more likely to use dedicated landing pages for search, which is something that you would not intuitively just think about. 80% of those marketers indicated that they use dedicated landing pages for search or context ads.
And that's for paid search, right? Pay-per-click.
That is correct. That is paid search.
Okay, that is interesting. Any thoughts as to why that you're seeing those differences?
It's kind of difficult to interpret in this mass kind of amount of data. What's interesting is that the rest of the industries are roughly in line at about 62 to 65%. So the one interpretation is didn't really warrant a lot of space in the report, but it's possible that because those companies are relatively limited in other kinds of advertising that they do, because they're more regulated, education, healthcare, probably having a little tighter rules that they have to abide by, so they were a little bit more likely to use paid search and contextual ads than, let's say, things like social media, where it creates a lot more exposure for them, so they actually were the lowest as far as usage of social media sites outside of paid ads for dedicated landing pages.
Okay.
For driving traffic to dedicated landing pages.
Okay. And talk to us about some of the, you know, the effectiveness across the different groups you surveyed. Were there any significant findings that stood out more than others as far as, you know, what channels or traffic sources were most effective?
In terms of one thing we did not ask, and this is important, kind of actually there's a little bit of an attempt at humor in the report. This idea of, you know, what is the right conversion rate? Is there a conversion rate benchmark we can talk about? And what we found actually by slicing data in different ways and looking at things like objectives and B2B versus B2C or more generally customer preferences, realize that it's not meaningful to talk about some sort of a single metric to, you know, say establish the effectiveness of a particular channel, because it wouldn't be useful to look at that kind of number in aggregate. So we can't really say, you know, yes, you should do, you know, paid search works great, or, you know, you should invest money in social media display ads because those work better. Because it really depends. All of these things are different for different industries, customer categories, website objectives. And really, we couldn't even aggregate them meaningfully, even into industries, for example, because within the same industry, there's so many different types of websites. So when we look at these averages, for example, we see that, for example, 71% of software marketers, you know, companies that produce software or software as a service, 71% of them are using dedicated landing pages when they send email to their in-house list. But does that mean that we can, from that, conclude that all software companies are most effective by using email to their in-house list? No, of course not. This is just kind of one slice of the pie, but you would have to look at a lot of different numbers to kind of triangulate what is the right benchmark for you. I know it's kind of hard to, you know, cram all those numbers, especially on a radio show, because we're really just talking a lot of statistics and would not be very fun.
Another thing that the report talks about, which is interesting, and this is very unique, but it talks about the competitive intelligence aspect of LPO and what types of competitive intelligence or information was collected most commonly for use in LPO from, you know, from competitors. What were some of the findings in regard to that? You know, I'm looking at like page 138, for example, where it speaks to that.
Sure. We try to put together, again, several different ways of looking at this information. What's interesting about competitive intelligence is, of course, there's a lot of different types, and they looked at top five categories, which were quite simply, you know, looking at your competitors' websites. It's something that you might think it's obvious, but actually a lot of marketers do that, but not everyone indicated that they regularly use that as part of the kind of marketing, part of planning and optimizing their own website. Also, going a little deeper, like going through the entire conversion path on a competitor website, what we found is that, of course, still the majority of marketers, 76% of marketers said that they do look at their competitors' websites, and 39% said that they do go through the conversion path entirely. Far from 100%, right? And it's something that, you know, as marketers, we a lot of the time, we're busy. It's hard to kind of do that due diligence, or maybe you do it once a year and then you kind of forget about it. We have to realize that your competitors are optimizing too. So you constantly have to be aware of what they're changing in their website. What we also found is that about half of the marketers did use kind of freely available industry benchmarks, but 12% purchase reports within kind of like the one that we published. So that's, you know, it's only 12%, so it's a little disappointing that only 12% buy these reports. At the same time, it shows that there is kind of value in the some degree of exclusivity of those. What's interesting is that 38% said they obtained third-party analytics for competitor websites, and that's an important topic, and it's a kind of a hot product that's out there. Companies like Compete and Alexa are probably top brands that come to mind when you think about third-party analytics. And what they provide is actually very, very useful, potentially. And it's interesting that by now, almost 40% of marketers are using this type of data. It can be kind of expensive, but imagine looking into your competitors' web analytics. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, it's money really well spent. If you can get that kind of data to actually look at the funnel and the conversions and so on, because not only because it gives you a benchmark, that's kind of that's a bad way to look at that data. If all you're looking for is to say, oh well, they have 10% conversion rate, we have 12% conversion rate, we beat them, we're done optimizing. The right way to look at it is to say, wow, they have completely different pages. They drive their traffic differently, and here is how their visitors convert. Here's how their visitors respond to their pages. Now we can use this information to test maybe what worked for them on our site. Maybe we can do something differently because we have different kinds of visitors. Now, big caveat there is how you, what kind of data you get. And this is something you need to ask, you know, whoever you buy the data from, is what is the size of the panel? Because this data is not just, they're not hacking into your competitor's websites. They are using data from ordinary consumers who maybe have some sort of toolbar installed in their browser. Most marketers kind of know what these things are, that essentially track that person's browsing behavior. The question is, how many of those are visiting your competitor's websites?
Okay.
And if that number is small...
No, sorry to cut you off, Boris. We've got to go to a break really quick here and continue the discussion when we return.
Sure.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. The generation of the web is now. Your competitors are on the web, your prospects are on the web, and they're looking for you. So, are they finding you, or are your competitors getting the business you deserve? Tune in to Generation Web with your host, Matt Dalby. Gain critical insight that your business simply can't live without. Generation Web airs live Thursdays at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time, 2300 UTC on Voice America Business.
Technology is intended to improve our lives and solve the world's problems, but technology in itself is a complex myriad of concepts, ideas, and security. How do we sort it all out? Tune in to Technology Today with host Ajay Gupta. The program will go inside the world of technology with innovators, engineers, CEOs, and government officials. Our topics will include green technology, healthcare technology, and cybersecurity. Listen every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune in to It's Your Money with host Bill Pfeifferlich. You'll get an eye-opening education about some of the misconceptions of the financial world. If you are a business owner, working professional, or successful American, you will benefit from the information on our program. Our guests will include financial service professionals, international tax and estate attorneys, and CPAs. We'll identify solutions that you can implement now to get the most of your money. Tune in Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for It's Your Money on Voice America Business. Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. You are listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
Welcome back. If you have a question for Boris Grinko, who's talking with us today about LPO, you can contact him at Boris, B-O-R-I-S, grinkot@marketingsherpa.com. Boris is also on Twitter at grinkot. So if you have a question, comment, you'd like to connect with him, that's how you can do it. If you have a question for me, of course, you can email me anytime, matt@genwebmarketing.com. Boris, you were talking to us before the break about the use of competitive intelligence for LPO. Any comments before we kind of shift the discussion a little bit?
Sure. So just to wrap up what I was saying about third-party analytics, the key thing, it's extremely valuable data, but it's extremely important also that you ask what is the size of the panel that's being used to provide that data, because a lot of the time they'll kind of do a statistical analysis, try to extrapolate from a small sample what is really happening in your competitor sites, and you have to watch out for that.
Okay, just make sure the data is reliable.
Right, and also, very importantly, and it sounds like, man, I don't want to do this, it's kind of a pain, but what marketers indicated that one of the single most valuable way of gathering competitive intelligence, it's very simple, but it's really going through the entire conversion path diligently, from A to Z, and going through the whole thing to understand exactly what happens to a customer on your competitor's website.
Okay. Those are some great insights and good tips, practical tips for marketers. I'd like to shift the discussion just a little bit and really zoom in even more on the website itself. Of course, we've just been talking about the channels or the traffic sources that drive traffic to the site. Now let's zoom in on the site a little bit on a marketer's website or a company's website and say, what specific pages are being optimized the most?
Sure. So, and this is where we get to kind of the most tactical side, right? So we ask a couple of questions about which pages of the funnels did marketers optimize in 2010. And you asked earlier about B2B versus B2C. So we saw that both B2B and B2C marketers, you know, 64 and 67% respectively, homepage is the single most likely page to be optimized. And this is kind of good and bad. Homepage is a great opportunity to optimize if a lot of traffic hits that page. But just like we talked earlier about, I'm glad you asked me about dedicated landing pages. A lot of your traffic really should not be hitting your homepage. Ideally, the only people that visit your homepage are visitors you don't really know where they're coming from, but they're typing in the URL because maybe, you know, your brand is well recognized and so on. You have no way of putting them on a specific, you know, on a dedicated page. But everybody else really should be coming to a page that's specifically created for whatever the channel is. So when you look at these numbers, 64 and 67%, you can look at it and say, oh, well, the homepage is the most important thing to optimize. But I suggest the right way to read benchmarks in general is to do it critically and to say, well, maybe this is actually a great opportunity for us to look at our site and see, you know, is the traffic coming to the homepage? Should it be coming to the homepage in the first place? And is that the right place to start? Second, at the homepage is the product or solution page. Again, it's kind of broadly defined. Both B2B and B2C, again, 58 and 55% said that that's their second most likely page to be optimized. And then it kind of breaks down depending, of course, we have different, again, websites with different pages that they have, but kind of in the same order as you would think the funnel would build, right? So next we have category page or thank you page is kind of towards the bottom of the list in terms of how often marketers use it. What's interesting is that about roughly a third of B2B and B2C marketers, 34 and 27% respectively, optimize pages like Contact Us or About Us. Or those pages that you don't think of as being directly in the conversion funnel, yet they do appear to be important to marketers, both in B2B and B2C.
So what you're seeing from the report and the respondents in this study is the pages that are maybe they typically get the most traffic are the ones that are being optimized the most. But what you're suggesting is in reality the way it should be, or ideally it's more optimal to try to drive traffic to more of those specific dedicated landing pages as opposed to just generic traffic that's coming from who knows where.
Exactly. And it's I'm glad you pointed out the traffic issue. So especially marketers that test, and in the study we saw that about a third of marketers that responded were involved in some sort of testing last year. From testing perspective, you need a certain amount of traffic to draw statistically valid conclusions. And so it makes sense, as you said, that marketers tend to focus, you know, if you look at this data, it seems like marketers focus on pages in the order of the amount of traffic that they receive. But again, we need to look at this critically and say, well, why is the homepage getting so much traffic? Why is it at the top of kind of the marketer's optimization priorities? Because really, a lot of the traffic that comes from specific traffic sources the marketers can identify should be going somewhere else. And you still need to make sure that there's enough traffic to test, but consider where you send that traffic and then arrange your priorities accordingly.
It's very insightful, and that's a really, really key point because at the end of the day, what you're trying to help people do is get higher conversion rates. Higher conversion rates means more business, hopefully, at the end of the day, or you know, something that turns into business, whether it's a lead or other or a transaction immediately. If they can kind of shift and the way of thinking toward to be more strategic, if you will, than just letting things kind of happen the way they've always happened, then it can provide more value for them. I mean, is that a fair statement? Okay.
When you look at this data, you realize that even you know, looking at the amount of, the marketers consider the amount of traffic. But also, when we look at the dedicated landing page data, there's always different sources. And it's important to understand also when you optimize, why do they say that, you know, it's bad that marketers send all this traffic to the homepage? Maybe the missing piece that I didn't identify clearly is that this means that different visitor segments are all arriving at the same page, meaning they all have the same exact experience presented to them. And it, of course, cannot be, that same page cannot serve multiple sets of preferences that each different segment of customers will have. So it's unlikely that the same page is going to be optimal for visitors coming from paid search ads and visitors coming from your display ads on a social media site, unless those ads, of course, are exactly identical.
So it's no wonder that many marketers have single-digit conversion rates.
Well, absolutely. A lot of the time it's just this, it's simply this mismatch because they create one page that greets visitors with radically different kinds of expectations. And the whole point of dedicated landing pages is to send people with different expectations to different experiences.
Interesting. The report also talks about, you know, what types of pages tended to pose the greatest challenge in terms of optimization, in terms of time and resources that were required to optimize them. Can you talk about that?
Sure. In terms of difficulty in optimizing a page, and it's kind of course, difficulty is defined broadly, but usually it has to do with how much breaking you have to do on a site. And so to some degree also there are some expected, you know, pages at the top of the list. We asked about pages or funnels. So shopping cart or subscription process scored at the top in terms of difficulty because, of course, that's where you have to deal with a lot of technology most of the time. Usually you can't easily test a shopping cart. So this is where, by the way, looking at your data, you can't just optimize blindly. You can't just look at, you know, even the amount of traffic or things like that. You really need to take into account your cost in terms of, you know, human resources, how much time is it going to take, what is the risk involved, you know, if you break the shopping cart. Hopefully that's not a big consideration for a lot of marketers, but it still comes out in terms of, you know, your, how much time does your IT department need to spend on this. But then also the flip side, of course, is the opportunity. You know, we have, you know, 50% of people who go from step two to step three in our shopping cart dropping off. Well, it sounds like a huge opportunity if you look at your analytics and you see that kind of drop-off. It's worthwhile then to go in and break your shopping cart and figure out, you know, what's wrong and install testing there. But, of course, again, you know, when we asked marketers how difficult is it, well, they said, you know, 35% said it's very difficult to optimize their shopping cart. 50% on top of that said that it's at least somewhat difficult. And then kind of tapering off from there, things like payment page, again, because that that involves some degree of programming that has to be, you know, dealt with. You can't just easily change a payment page because it has a form on it.
So does there appear to be some sort of correlation between what we just talked about and the findings with regard to difficulty? Almost like it seems like there could be an inverse relationship between difficulty and what pages actually get optimized in reality.
That makes sense, right? So, of course, marketers are most averse to optimizing pages that are kind of most painful to optimize. And actually, we just coming back from our optimization summit in Atlanta, one big topic we discussed, and of course this is kind of it's not unique to optimization, but the general kind of marketing IT tension that's out there, it's reflected in these numbers as well. So when we look at things like, you know, whether it's free account setup, extra payment doesn't even have to be involved, but any kind of process that's highly IT dependent, where you can't just simply, you know, you can easily swap out a banner or a headline or copy. Those things are easy to do. But once you get to things like processes or several steps where there's a form involved, that's where you can't, the marketer usually can't just do it on their own. They have to get the IT or department or the developers involved, and that immediately starts creating friction, and marketers become averse to that. So I think that you're picking up on that inverse relationship between difficulty and likelihood to optimize, and that's, a lot of it comes out of this misalignment between marketing and IT.
Okay. If you're a marketer, I'm sure you can been in marketing for a while, I'm sure you can relate to that. It's just different departments with different goals in a lot of cases, and it's just a challenge sometimes to align those goals. And IT is probably trying to just keep the site running and making sure that security is what it should be, and you're trying to get more leads or sales, and so it is a challenge. I can see what you're saying. Obviously, you need both groups though to keep things working the way they should be. We're coming up on another break here, Boris, and when we come back, I want to talk about and zoom in even further and talk more about in terms of what specific elements on pages are optimized the most. That is a very common question among marketers, of course. What's working the best right now in general? So we'll talk about that when we get back.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Are you looking to soar with the eagles instead of being grounded with the turkeys? Why not have a gorilla help you out? Listen every week for Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl with host Joby Dixon. Joby has made a living out of helping organizations and individuals become more creative, inventive, and innovative. The show closely parallels Joby's book of the same name. It'll include the process to innovate, how to rewire your brain for creativity, exercises, case studies, and more. Tune in to Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
Intense and intelligent. Catch Kevin, unscripted and uncensored, keeps you informed of the ideological, theological, and economic war being waged against the United States of America. Kevin Lehman's bold and brilliant style challenges your deepest held beliefs and provokes you to ask the hard questions. Religious, scientific, political, or financial, Kevin is holding the establishment's feet to the fire. With high-profile guests that include politicians, economists, theologians, and business titans, he'll demand truth over tradition and facts over fiction. Full of passion, wisdom, and wit, Kevin's transparent and no-nonsense style make Catch Kevin unscripted and uncensored, the go-to show for real insight on business, politics, social issues, and breaking news. It's time to get real, America. It's time to tackle the tough issues head on. Tune in to Catch Kevin, unscripted and uncensored, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
Welcome back. And again, we're talking about the subject of LPO with Boris Grinko of Marketing Sherpa. And we're taking our magnifying glass, if you will, as we move through this episode and get even more and more detailed in terms of looking at the site itself, your site or just marketers' sites in general, and looking more at the details of what's being optimized. And so, Boris, based on the report, based on the study, what specific elements on a given page or dedicated landing page, whatever the case might be, are marketers optimizing most often?
Sure. So if we look at just, we looked at something like, 17 different page elements in the study, so I'm not going to, read out the entire list. And to some degree, marketers, again, need to be careful when you look at, case studies or benchmark reports and so on. Don't just take it for granted. We said 77% of marketers in our study said that they optimized the headline copy. 72% said they optimized body copy, so that's kind of in order of have likelihood by marketers to optimize that element. Or let's say only 43% said they optimized button design, but at the same time, looking for the number, 36% said they optimized button copy. So kind of, almost half, right? So half of the optimized button copy compared to those to optimize headline copy. But what does that mean? It doesn't necessarily automatically mean that on your site you need to focus on button copy less than you do on the headline. It just headline happens to be the first thing that reaches the visitor. So, of course, it probably has the greatest impact on your landing page because that's something that can easily make a difference between the person continuing to read your page or just, you know, going for that X button. It's kind of like my favorite example is, you know, when you go to a mailbox, you pull out your mail, and you look for things to go away immediately, right? Because you're looking for things to focus on. That's what kind of the headline does. The headline keeps you in the pile of that mail. Headline keeps you in the running when your website visitor is actually opening a bunch of browser tabs. So it's understandable that 77% of marketers said they optimize their headline. Button copy can be also very important. So actually, instead of going through all 17, what's interesting, what we did is we compartmentalized these. So as opposed to looking at 17 things, kind of reduced them down to 6 different categories, which were, and I'm going to read them out in the order that marketers identified this category of page elements as having very significant impact. So this is important. So this is not just things they optimized, but this is where they found the most significant impact. And in order of, I guess, significance of impact, they are layout, call to action, copy, images, forms, and navigation. So again, layout, call to action, copy, images, form, and navigation. So it's interesting that layout elements, something that kind of has this broad impact on the structure of the page, has provided the greatest degree of impact. And it's also notable that call to action was the second most important thing. So it kind of makes sense. The first one, layout, really structures the visitors, how they take the information in, right? So the order of things, how they're organized, the way actually the marketing experience methodology looks at things like the thought sequence in the mind of the visitor. And the layout, of course, layout elements directly affect that, the iPad that they present to the user. Call to action, of course, is also critical. Brian Eisenberg has an entire book just with the same title. It's extremely important because for the visitor to know exactly what to do, what's expected of them. Sometimes as marketers, we forget that it's not obvious what a page wants the user to do. And optimizing the call to action, exactly what's being offered. Are you communicating value in that call to action? Are you using a button? Are you still using a button that says submit? That's MechLab's, our parent company's CEO, Flynn McLaughlin. It's his favorite point to make, probably, about calls to action. When you have a button that says submit, what does it say to the user? It just basically kind of puts them down as opposed to offering any kind of value. So this is why we see call to action. 41% of marketers said that this has very significant impact when they optimize it.
That's interesting. So there is a difference and a divergence from, in reality, what initially has been tested and is tested to what actually has the most impact. So marketers say, well, the headline we're going to optimize. They find out that the call to action, the layout, and those two elements, obviously in the opposite order, impact in reality more than a headline by itself. Interesting.
Right. Exactly. Of course, we rolled in headline would be something that's rolled into copy. So when we put in the bucket, copy is the third most important thing. So if you took out a single element, I would still say, headline is extremely important. Mm-hmm. But if you look at groups of elements, layout overall appears to have a greater impact on pages than copy does.
I did an A-B test recently for a company, and we did that very thing. We actually took away the headline the header image in an effort to move the call to action up on the page. And by doing that, it actually changed the layout and at the same time brought that call to action button up and really just made the eye flow on the page just so much cleaner and saw a 4.5 times, 4x% increase in the conversion rate by just taking away that header image that was almost a distraction and moving the call to action button up. It was amazing. So interesting that you see these results, and I've seen some other studies that talk about the headline, and then this is very interesting, Boris. I appreciate you sharing that with us. As we move through the study, there was some interesting findings as it relates to I guess the reasoning behind these findings. I mean, why do you think this is the case? I mean, any thoughts about why certain elements of the page were more effective than others?
Sure. So when we look at effectiveness or place in the study, the impact of different specific page elements, we see that, for example, form logic actually scored the highest. 56% of marketers said it had very significant impact. 34% said it had at least somewhat significant impact. Even more so than, the headline copy did, even though most marketers tested headline copy. So this makes sense, because form logic actually can much more directly affect what happens, right? So, of course, you have to have a form on your site or in your funnel to take advantage of this finding. But basically, this is where you get as close as possible to the actual conversion process. So it makes sense that how your form is laid out, and this could be how it's arranged on a page and also how it's arranged across pages. A lot of the time, we kind of know intuitively, right, the fewer fields we have, the more likely the person is to get through. Well, that's fine. Probably, I don't know if most of our lists are more in the lead generation space versus, online retail. But especially in something like lead gen, where you do want to ask more questions, ideally, right? You want to get as much information as you can to your sales team. You want to have as high quality lead as possible, so you want to ask more qualifying questions. But actually, what we found through testing, I know this from work with research partners in the past, is that you can break down that form into multiple steps and increase both quantity and quality of leads, because you can capture some key information on a short form initially and then capture additional information on subsequent steps. So the user who might drop off after the first step, they still gave you, you still have a lead even though it's not as high quality, and you can still remarket to that lead and so on. So this definitely supports this finding that form logic was found to have the highest significance or the highest impact on optimization.
Very interesting. So you gotta of course make sure your forms work and that they are structured correctly and have the right fields and not too many fields and all the rest. Everything encompasses within that, right?
Absolutely. Of course, it does. It does have to work, and it does have to be, just like everything else, relevant to the particular visitor segment that arrives to that form.
Okay. Well, we are coming up on the close of our episode today. Boris, as we close out today, are there any key takeaways you'd like to share with our listeners in terms of, practical next steps as they're going through the process of optimizing their sites, their pages?
Sure. So, we looked at some kind of benchmark data as far as what is the most popular thing that marketers do and so on. There's the purely practical side, which is headline, images, and so on. We saw that layout is probably the single most effective thing. So I would say if you have to do optimization on a lean budget, you have to do it quickly without involving IT, go for that headline, make your content as relevant as possible to the message in the previous ad or link that drove the person to that page.
Okay. Good stuff. If you guys are interested in getting that report, of course, go to marketingsherpa.com. Thanks to all of our listeners for listening in today, and have a great week.